Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own business as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Was that like the normal intro? That seemed like it took a long time.
That was the normal
intro. Is it just me? It's just
a couple
me
of skip 15s and you're past it.
The long intro was when we first started. Like I went back. I mean, I wasn't here, obviously, but I went back really to do some shorts.
Yeah,
it was like
long.
3 minutes or something like
that.
It was
long. I see your house made it through the tornado last night.
Yep. Being in the Midwest, we get the naders, and we had one right over our heads last night.
The naders. Have you seen that? I like that picture that's on Facebook once in a while. See, it's like suburbanites, and it's like a man and a woman and a dog and a child, and they're in a basement. They got their little radio and all this stuff, and they're like, tornadoes on the East Coast. And then the other one is two people on their porch, like one's in the front yard, and they're like, this is a good one.
Yeah, we did what every other Midwesterner does. The tornado sirens go off, and it's like we roll over and look at each other like,
is it really
are they being for real or not? Like, so then you turn on the TV because the news is surely going to show like the path of the storm.
Oh yeah, those guys are jacking off watching the tornadoes.
Oh my gosh,
they love that stuff, man.
Those guys live for breaking into midnight TV so they can talk about the storm. And
we'll get you back to your regularly scheduled programming.
If you're in this city, you need to be taking shelter right now.
Yeah, it'll be there in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I have 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Like, it's just like during the riots, they'll show the same clip of the trash can on fire for like 30 straight minutes.
Over and over and over
again.
That's
the same shot you've been showing. Like, we got off the Kentucky Derby. So we gotta jump to this.
Every time you're gonna hear him explain like, no, well, I'm gonna flip to this screen and you're gonna see this little hook right here, and this hook is what we think is a tornado. And it's like, yeah, okay, I got it. Like,
yeah,
just
thanks.
Tell me where it is and where it's going.
Could you zoom?
So I know if I need to get in my basement or not.
Could you zoom out so I could see my city, please?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not by it.
Right,
I'm back to
good.
Bed.
Do you remember the solar eclipse? We were at Delta Woods filming some stuff, and we were watching TV, and then the news presenter was talking about how like, is this eclipse? How does it affect you emotionally? Isn't this just like the most amazing thing that's happened?
Yeah.
And I called my mom and she was just in tears. I'm like, dude, it's a freaking like,
an eclipse. Like, relax.
Yeah. People, it's just math, people.
People, it just, the drama that they try to enforce on everything.
Right.
It's just, it's
like
insane.
Like every race
insane.
Is like a new record since like 1956. Like, this has happened since 1943.
Well, shit. NASCAR.
Yeah.
NASCAR was in Kansas City and is the closest finish in NASCAR history.
Yeah.
And there's people bragging like they have something to do with it. Like, yeah, that's right. Kansas City.
Yeah. You mean you live here and it happened here? Is that what you mean?
It happened. None of it was like you had nothing to do with the track being built here. Nothing to do with the drivers in the race.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with what
like
led
I'm,
to the close finish.
I'm born and raised here and still I'm like, you guys are fucking dumb. You know that, right? Like, come on.
Right.
I don't want to bash NASCAR because I like that we've built these machines that are so badass,
right?
But it's like, dude, it's not Indy. You're turning left. Like, if I want to get fast and go left, I'll just get in my fucking grasshopper lawnmower and just cut my yard and circle. Like, dude, it's not.
And they haven't built badass machines. They built badass machines and then put restrictions on them so they're less badass than they could be.
Yeah.
I like
where this topic's going.
Baseball in the 90s. Mm. The best baseball ever. Right,
late 90s when everyone was on
roids.
Yeah, they should have just made roids.
And so now they cap it. Now they cap it. You can't do this drug. You can't do that. Like, give me an uncapped baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see Mark McGwire hit 100 fucking home runs and all of them be 400 feet long.
Like, I get what you're saying. Like, I would love if they would just like let everyone in NASCAR be like, look.
No more restrictor plates.
Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Let's see somebody fucking just like flip their car 87 times.
Well, I'm all for the safety side of things, right? But the whole restrictor plate thing dumb.
And that's the fine line is, okay, so yeah, you're for the safety thing. Hey, everyone's got to be as safe as they can. It's still their choice to get in the car.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, they don't have to get in the car.
Yeah.
Like we're not making them do it. This is the problem I had with the NFL for a while. You know, they're like, oh, well, these concussions and this and that. Like no one's making them do it.
They're choosing to play in the NFL.
Yeah. No one's like holding them at gunpoint and being like, if you don't fucking play.
Right.
Like they lied about like how serious the concussions were. That was bullshit. But it's like still they don't. Like
but if they really cared about player injuries, they'd get rid of turf.
That's like, true too, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't actually care about player injuries. They're just trying. It's all a PR move.
Yeah.
They know that you choose to get out there and you choose to get concussed and everything else. And hell, chances are they've been like CTE is set in long before they make it to the NFL.
Oh yeah.
From all their high school and college days. Well, you know
college.
What I mean?
Usually in college, that's like when you're taking some serious blows that you shouldn't be taking.
Yeah.
Because the repetition is like there was no cap for such a long time. It was like we're having 8 practices and 100-degree heat, and if you survive, you make the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's where the injuries come in.
2 days.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Last man standing on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. We got one spot left. Who fucking wants it?
Yeah.
Like. But yeah, you're right. Like it's like, yeah, and, give her the turf.
And once you're like kind of
save ACLs,
once you're kind of like in tune to it, like when you're watching the news, it's like every story is
I know.
This is the closest since it's been this. And the next story, this is the closest.
So yeah.
Same thing on YouTube.
They got to stat their stats.
Yeah. I like that. That's good.
The longest pass thrown by a right-handed white receiver wearing a number below 20 on a 55 degree day in the preseason. And then people will like brag on that. Like that's my dog.
Don't you have something to do?
Wait until they start putting stats on tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
This is Frank. Frank drank 47 beers before kickoff. Like
they can't
that's
do
the
that
most even... beers consumed before kickoff on an East Coast team.
You can't even tailgate at Arrowhead anymore.
No,
like,
you can tailgate. You just can't stay in the parking lot after kickoff.
It used to be able to. People would go people would bring their flat screens out.
Yeah.
And we'd eat all day and watch the game in the parking lot.
Yeah. And like, then one guy got shot in the parking lot during the game, and so they said no more fans in the parking lot.
No, fucking fun killers.
You should be able to get shot in the parking lot.
Well, you can still get shot in the parking lot.
I don't know
where
you're going with that, Austin.
Like, no caps.
Like moving the fans into the stadium and that, like, it's just a liability
thing.
Actually, it's just a cap.
I wish sometimes that I'd have been born like in the 60s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like got to see all the fun stuff or been born in the Wild West. Like, you know, like there was just the amount of rules and red tape.
Yeah, with freedom comes chaos.
Yeah.
Right? Give me some fucking chaos.
It sounds really bad to say, but sometimes I feel like I need it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, like, I'm looking around. I'm at home.
That ain't bad.
And I'm like, man, I am fucking bored out of my mind. You know what I'd like to have happen? China bomb the shit out of us right now so I'd have something to fucking do.
That's why people get plane tickets and hotel reservations to a place they've never been for and make no plans until they get there. It's because they need a little bit of chaos.
Yeah.
They need to be thrown into a new, exciting scenario with nothing planned.
Yeah.
And just figure the shit out when they get there.
I think that's a lot of the... we're not even getting close to a topic, but I think that's probably like part of the suicide problem and the depression problem. It's like everything is so structured and so normal and there's no excitement that people literally just lose their minds.
Yeah. Dude, like, it doesn't take shit for people to lose their minds today.
I know. That's like, what I'm saying. Like there needs to be like,
you know, what's crazy.
If it was 1885 and you had to cross the prairie and worry about getting killed by Indians, like all your piddly ass problems that you think are problems now are not fucking problems.
Well,
like,
can you imagine dating?
Perspective is a real thing.
Can you imagine dating in today's world? Right. You and I have been married a long time, right? Like I'll see these stories. I'll hear these stories. Like there, I got a friend of mine on Facebook.
I'm wondering where you're going with this.
I got a friend of mine on Facebook. That posted a picture of a love letter that somebody tucked underneath her windshield wiper at the gym.
Like what kind of love letter?
Like a respectful love letter? Like a secret admirer type
of
thing.
It wasn't like, hey, I want to hold you down and something crazy.
No, and it wasn't like, I want to, you know.
It was respectful.
I want your used pair of underwear. Like it was respectful, right?
I want to wear them like a mask.
Right. But here's the thing. You go through the comments on that. Like, she didn't really take a stance one way or the other. You go through the comments.
Was it respectful?
85% of the comments are like, watch out, that's a creeper. You need to park in a different place and drive a different car and change gyms and all this shit. And it's like, man, when I was growing up, that was like romantic. That was chivalrous. That was...
I was just about to say, hey, people, guess what? Chivalry's not dead. Like, right? I can go to the bar and see a beautiful woman and say, you're beautiful.
Right.
Like, that doesn't mean I'm some kind of weirdo.
Right.
I'm just giving someone a compliment.
Right.
Like, it's more the line of like, okay, so you meet your buddy and his wife's there and you look at her and you're like, I do this all the time. Like, I'll tell my buddy, like, dude, you know, she's like way too hot for you. Right.
Right.
That's a compliment. Like, it's not when did everything have to be so negative?
Right.
Like, well, what happened to people?
I don't know. Imagine, too much news and they're getting scared about everything.
Can you imagine right now, like, if, heaven forbid, either one of us lost our wives and like we had to go back out? Do you know how easy it'd be?
I don't know if it'd be easy or scary as fuck. Well, I don't know. Like,
it's a question I'm asking. It's a legitimate question.
Well, this is actually a topic Danielle and I have talked about on date night.
I think it would be super easy.
Let's say one of us dies. How do you go back into the dating pool at this age and this, you know, time and everything else?
I'm 42. I don't know how much dating I'm going to be doing. Well, like, and I know I wouldn't get married again. I'm 42. I'm not. No, thanks.
Like, I'm good. The type of guy that would do the notes under the wiper. I'm the type, like, that's just me, right?
That is you. That is 100% you.
I mean, that's how I got my wife, like all this shit, right?
Yeah, I just walk up to
her. Can you imagine if I tried, like, let's say something were to happen to Danielle and I'm all of a sudden single and I tried doing that shit today? I'd probably be blasted all over the internet for being some kind of creeper. And it's like, no, I'm not a creeper. You know, I did something nice. I picked up the thing from you off the high shelf you know, I struck up a conversation with you at the grocery store. And here's why I know this would be difficult. Over the last 2 or 3 months, I've made it an active agenda of mine on social media to friend request realtors. If I find that they're a realtor, I'm sending them a friend request.
I'm sorry, realtors. I hate your guts.
I'm trying to expand my network on social media of people that I can actually benefit from and people that can actually benefit from me, right? And so, you know, realtors, they're always in the middle of a sale of a house or whatever, and we're plumbers, like we can...
Yeah, I get it.
There's benefits to that relationship,
right? Yeah, I just hate
them.
Yeah.
So here's something I've noticed, and I've done this quite a few times in the last few weeks, have been unsuccessful so far.
Where are we going?
I'll friend request a realtor.
Okay.
They'll accept my friend request.
Okay.
I'll shoot them a message. Hey, I own a local plumbing company in town. You're all the time buying and selling houses. I know that there's sometimes things come up where plumbing needs to be done during that exchange. I'd love to buy you a coffee sometime and like figure out if there's some way that we can benefit from each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can rely on us for
mutually
plumbing.
Beneficial. Yeah.
Yeah. You can rely on us for plumbing. We can get the plumbing repair done so you can sell the house. Like everybody wins, right? Not once. And I've sent this message out at least 12 times.
No one's taking you up on the
coffee? No one. And they're all freaking creeped out by it.
How do you know they're creeped out?
You can just tell by their responses. They're really off-putting. And so...
Well, like let's be honest. So you friend request them. They accept it. And immediately you're pitching. Like, that's why they're creeped out.
I'm not pitching anything. I'm literally saying, like, let's have a coffee.
I'm saying you can't wait. Like, wait a month.
Yeah, I know.
You know
like,
what I mean?
You
like it comes off as salesy if you do it immediately.
Maybe.
That's probably why you're getting the responses you're getting.
I don't know. But
I do.
Like,
that's why.
It's kind of like whenever someone texts you and you call them right away or something, you know?
Well, and I would almost think like a message out of the blue a month later is creepier than you get the Facebook notification that they accepted your friend request and it literally prompts you to send them a message.
Oh,
Facebook literally prompts you to say, so-and-so accepted your friend request. Do you want to wave and say hi and send them a message? Now here's what's weird. We're perfectly okay accepting friend requests from strangers and letting them view all of our social media and everything else.
Yes.
But
see,
the moment
you're
they reach out and try to
Friday
have,
night. Yeah. You're fine with that.
the moment they reach out and try to have like an actual like mature conversation in person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whoa, what the fuck's this creeper doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, chill out. Like,
well, it's just people aren't, people are losing it, man.
Yeah.
They're just nuts.
Yeah.
And people wonder, like, I get this all the time. They're like, Dave, you don't really...
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Like, you don't do anything. You're not on social media very much. You're not, you know, you're not doing this. You're not engaged. You're not, I'm like, yeah, it's because people are stupid and they're nuts and I don't want to fucking deal with it.
Right. So like, as we were up to the podcast room, somebody made some comment and Danielle said, no, Mitch has already been shot down. Right.
Oh yeah. I said something about Mitch's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about Mitch's got a girlfriend or something.
Where that came from.
What we were talking about.
I was talking with Danielle about, like, Danielle knows, like, we even joke around about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll turn my phone to her and I'll be like, what do you think? Real estate agent or not? And we're just judging by the profile picture. And she's like, nah, I don't think so. And I'm like, I guarantee it's a real estate agent. And then you click on the profile and boom, real estate agent.
Yeah.
Request sent. Right.
That's and so freaking good.
One of the real estate agents that I shot a message to, I'm like, hey, you know, I own this plumbing company. You are they have on their profile, like top 3% real estate agent in Kansas City.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, okay, you're a top 3 realtor. We're like the most reviewed plumbing company and highest reviewed plumbing company in the area. Like, we should totally get together for coffee and I'll learn how I can support your business. And you'll learn how you can support mine. Like, this is good. And she literally replies with, I just got out of a really toxic relationship. I'm trying to avoid. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
you had no
problems accepting my friend request and letting me stalk your profile. But the moment I try to make it like,
did you message
actually
her?
Like mature and above board, well, it's like now you're freaked out.
Well, let's be honest. Like, she probably like gets that a lot. Like, it's
maybe,
you know, like I saw a thing the other day. It was a woman on Facebook and it was like, when you accept a unknown friend request or something, and then it was just like a picture and she was just holding a banana like next to her remote.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, just random dick pics.
Yeah, random
that you
dick
get.
Pics. Yeah.
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 I mean, so I get why she's like that, but did you just respond back and say, hey, no, seriously, I just.
Yeah.
This is not personal.
Hey,
like, I'm married.
Stalk
like,
my Facebook profile. It's obvious I'm very happily married.
Yeah.
Like
I'm trying to.
You got no fears of anything.
Sometimes it's like you almost have to be blatantly obvious. Like, hey, I'm trying to drum up business for people to then be like, oh, okay, this isn't some weird, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes you just got to be like, hey, look, no, I'm looking for work.
Right.
Like,
I mean, that's
maybe that's what you should start posting.
No,
like,
wait,
hey,
whenever she said
can
that,
can I buy you a coffee? This isn't weird. I'm trying to drum up work for my business and grow my company.
Well,
like, that's probably what your responses need to be from now on.
So she replied with, you know, the whole toxic relationship thing. And I'm like, I'm happily married. Like, check my Facebook profile. You'll see, like, very happily married. And I'm like, I gave some stats about the plumbing company and stuff like that. I'm like, this is strictly business. But
yeah.
You know, it's
but
just.
But I mean, if you want to stop by the house, it's totally fine.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it is wild.
It is wild, man.
Speaking of drumming up work.
What do you want to talk? You want to actually get off
on
what we're supposed to be fucking talking
here.
About today?
So last week we wanted to get to.
Just kidding.
We were raising the question, is Google still king? So 3 or 4 years ago, Google was absolutely king, right? You would advertise on Google, you'd do Google Ads, you'd do Google LSA, you'd do your Google Business Profile, you'd do all the Google things if you're a home service company. And you'd become Google guaranteed, you'd do all that stuff.
Which you still should be doing.
Which,
even if Google isn't king anymore, you should still be doing it. It's still an avenue for you to get work.
Well, and it's free-ish. Like, your Google Business Profile's free.
I mean, if you're doing LSA, you're paying per lead, but it's not pay-per-click, you know,
right.
you're not giving $2,900 for no leads.
Right. Like, right. You're not paying $2,900 for people to view your website and hopefully they call you from that.
I only came up with $2,900 because we talked to
this
morning and that's what he said. And I was like, man, are we still doing
that? Right.
Stuck in my brain from this morning.
But you know, ongoing marketing is important, but like, where do you spend that money? Where do you spend that effort and everything else? And you still need to be spending money in Google. Like, I recently doubled my spend with my website and search engine optimization company because I ran the numbers and I realized that we had the highest ROI on our Google spend. And so I'm spending more in Google stuff, which is website and SEO, right? Yeah. And so, you know, Google's still important for sure, but it's not the end all be all. And unfortunately, there's a lot of small businesses out there that think they are one marketing decision away from lighting their, like igniting their business and setting it on a successful trajectory. And it's not. It is every month you're reviewing it, every quarter you're reviewing it. And just because something worked this month or this quarter, it might not work next month or next quarter. It is a constant churn and burn on marketing efforts. But Google is still kind of a fairly, it remains fairly constant in its success. Is it waning? Yes, it's absolutely waning.
I mean, it's still the most dominant and consistent force.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because it's waning doesn't mean that it's dead. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be investing your money in that type of marketing strategy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, we talk all the time with a lot of the guys in the group about, and I know this is going to sound like we're beating a dead horse, but like, if you're under three guys in your shop, you shouldn't be paying for any marketing. Like, if you want to start your SEO early so that it kicks in when you need it later,
right?
Like, we can have that conversation. But like, word of mouth referrals, Facebook referrals, community pages, like, that's where your bread and butter is. Now, when you start getting up to like where you're at, when you're, you know, three, I don't even know how many fucking guys you have anymore, three, four, five guys. Now you've got to be spending money in marketing. Mm-hmm. Still the safest place is Google LSA.
Can be.
It is the safest place for you to go to after word of mouth, after you've exhausted every free resource out there.
Yeah.
It's still the safest.
Yeah. The nice part about Google LSA is you're only paying when your phone actually rings. And so it's like the analogy I use is I could spend $10,000 and rent a billboard on the highway and nobody could call me.
Yeah.
And I wasted 10 grand, right?
Yeah.
If I spent 10 grand on Google LSA, right now we're spending an average of $50 to $70 for an LSA lead. So let's just call it 60. If I spent $10,000 on Google LSA, that would equate to 167 phone calls into our company.
Yeah.
And so there is a guaranteed return on your investment. Now, it's still up to us to turn those phone calls into actually booked appointments. It's still up to us to turn those booked appointments into a sale and all of that stuff. But it's, do I want to float 10 grand on a billboard and not be guaranteed anything? Or do I want to guarantee some results? And that's where Google LSA comes in for sure.
Yeah. That's the first step,
right?
Like, that's what we talked to. This is so weird that we're bringing this up. And this is going to make me sound like such a nerd, but so in the meetings that we have with Tradewinds guys and one-on-ones, like when we talk about whoever is in LSA and using LSA, like I write down what their cost per lead is, right? So I went through all the books the other day. Like, our guys are averaging between $75 and $90 per lead.
Yep.
Like, that's what our, as a group. Now, mm-hmm. some of them are way lower. Some of them are way higher. But that's still, like, that's a good number.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that you can build into your pricing that doesn't break the bank.
Right.
That's why I'm still not sold. Like, and I know this isn't a debate that you're bringing up, but is Google still king? Like, I think it still is. I think that it is still, when you're getting your feet wet and you're a small business, I still think it's number one past anything that's free.
Yeah. The public's opinion of Google and their trust in Google is shifting dramatically.
It's definitely down.
There are more people today than ever that rightfully believe the volume and the quality of Google reviews is fake on businesses. There are people that rightfully believe if a business has a 4.9 rating and 1,000 reviews, that they've bought them, paid for them, they went on the black market and paid some company to leave them reviews or something like that. They don't believe they're genuine.
I think some of that's from the Amazon stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you look at China, and I'm not picking on China, but when you look at some Chinese goods, like, you can go down through their reviews and just like blatantly see that 200 of them are fake.
Yeah.
Like, well, the, and- the, it, You know what I mean? It's obvious. And so what I think that does is it waters down all reviews in general, mm-hmm. whether it be Google, whether it be I'm buying something from BassPro.com, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it makes those reviews watered down.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem too.
It just creates distrust in the whole system.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, you can buy followers on Facebook. You can buy followers on Instagram. There are organizations out there where I could pay that organization a few thousand dollars and I'll have 10,000 followers on Instagram overnight. They're all bot accounts that this organization owns, but I could easily increase my following by 10,000 followers overnight with this organization.
Yeah.
And the problem is you have these like guru type people that run that bot farm, give themselves the following, and they'll do it to themselves to where they have a couple hundred thousand followers, and they're all bots, they're all fake,
yeah,
right? And then they'll go on their guru kick, and they'll be like, buy my free course, or, you know, buy my course for
drunk?
How to grow your following on Instagram. Look at me. I've got 127,000 followers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for the guy that's got 13 followers on Instagram, he's going to go like, oh shit, you know, and really you grow your following by putting out content every day and making it interesting and making it engaging and making it content that your following wants to watch.
It's got to be genuine. Like if you want to grow like a real following that is engaged with you constantly and is 100% legit, like it has to be genuine.
People
see through the bullshit. And that's kind of what you're saying about Google. Like, you know, if it's watered down and people are starting to lack confidence with it or lack trust in it,
right,
like it automatically falls out of favor regardless of what it is.
Right. Well, and I've seen people, I've literally watched people say like, man, I wish I could grow my social media following like this person. And this person posts engaging, funny stuff all day long, makes two or three posts a day, and it's all engaging and all funny. Meanwhile, this admirer of that person makes three posts a week, and the three posts are either of their kids or their cat. And it's like
fucking cats, man.
You're not going to grow your, like, the world doesn't want to see your kids. The world doesn't want to see your cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unless your cat, like there are a few Instagram pages that are built around animals. Obviously the animal's not writing the post. The person is, and the person is using the animal as an avatar or a character to put out their own thoughts. Right.
Right.
And so there, it's just an actor. It's a
cartoon.
Stick, right?
Yeah. The cat is a cartoon.
Right. And so like I'm picturing there's one dog that the dog's name is Steven. The dog has a birth defect where its lower jaw is significantly shorter than its upper jaw. And so its tongue hangs out of its mouth and its lower jaw is crazy short. Right. And so the dog's name is Steven, but it's pronounced Thiven. Right. And so this person made like an Instagram page for the dog.
The dog's got 8 million followers. I guarantee it.
And it's got
it.
Crazy amounts of followers, and you can buy like Steven, like apparel and all of this shit.
How is it pronounced again?
Steven.
Are you making that up?
No, I'm dead serious. Like you speaking
you.
It,
you're crazy.
It like you got to make your mouth look like the dog's mouth, and then it just rolls off the tongue perfectly.
I'm not even going to attempt.
But what I'm saying, like, that's not even an animal. That's not somebody just posting pictures of their dog every day. That's somebody who's put deep amounts of thought and creativity into the personality that is their dog. And then they've built a brand around that animal. That's different here's my cat laying in the sun. Here's my cat laying in a cat tree. Here's my cat playing with a cat toy. Like, all right, Karen. You get it. You have a cat. Like, you've got 14 other cats, too, you know?
Yeah. I thought Heavy Lisa had cats, not Karen.
Kaylin and I, we're going to start, for our personal YouTube channel, doing a POV when you're married to a filmmaker, and we have, like, several ones we're going to plan out. Like, one's going to be, like, I'm coming in the door, and I'm going to be like, this is all the gear I need. I don't need to buy any more gear. Like, this is it.
You better be
I just keep coming in with, like, a bigger rig.
Right.
Be careful with the POV.
Yeah. That's OnlyFans there.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
We're going to do one where it's, like, someone listening in, but it's like editing terminology. Like, I'm going to cut this person and then we're going to shoot this guy over there and then we're going to replace that guy with this one.
This
but
is taking
like
a dark turn.
They open the door and I'm like editing and like just talking, like using editing terminology. So we're going to do all these like little shorts to kind of
that's
help
good.
Bring
funny
traffic.
That's
yeah.
funny
funny
thing
dude.
On
that's
that.
Good. That's
have you
good.
Ever, have you ever seen the Photoshop groups on Facebook where people will...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Post a photo in the group and they're basically crowdsourcing from the Photoshop experts in the group. And it'll be
Photoshop
like,
this.
Yeah, there's a girl on a beach and she's, you know, it's like a high school, maybe a senior photo or something. So she's got like a leg kicked up and she's trying to look all cute. And then she's like, can somebody take out the guy in the background? Because she's trying to get it just her and the beach.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so literally the first comment up, which is the most reacted comment, the guy Photoshopped in a sniper smoking the guy in the background. And it's like, took him out.
Got him. Done.
It's like,
where's my check?
You know,
there's tons
even,
of those. Yeah.
Even that shit, somebody's put deep amounts of creativity and thought into all of that. Somebody has created a narrative and something that's worthy of following there, right? And so, you know, people's trust is waning in Google. You have to look legitimate in Google. You have to look professional in Google. I've said forever that if you have less than 100 reviews on Google, you don't even look legitimate. And anything under 200 reviews on Google and you still kind of look sketchy, right? One of our TradeWinds members literally texted me today as they got their 200th review. And they're like, I no longer look sketchy.
Who was it?
Aaron Smith.
Nice.
Yeah. And so
he's doing good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, you can agree with it or disagree with it if you want. And I guarantee if you agree with it, you have more than 200 reviews. And if you disagree with it, you're the guy who's been in business for 3 years and you have 14 Google reviews and 7 of them are from your family.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, that's going to be the guy that's like, you don't need Google reviews. Bullshit.
Well, I mean, I was in business 10 years. I don't have any.
You were in business before Google was invented.
That's like, I'm not that fucking old, dude. We're the same age.
Your first invoice was carved on a fucking stone.
First off,
you wrote a dinosaur to your first service call.
I was using Peachtree Accounting right when I started. Like, ooh, it was legit.
Yeah. When did Peachtree go bankrupt?
They're still out there. I will say this. I like not to get off topic, but like, I always used my own software. Like, I didn't do anything online, and now we use QuickBooks Online. I hate it. I freaking hate it.
Well, you hate it because you're stubborn.
No, I hate it because they change it every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. But
stick with something.
So does Facebook.
That's how
I hate Facebook too.
That's
damn
how
it.
The caption, like, so I use a software to add captions to our shorts, and it feels like every other day, here's a new update. I'm like, dude, just let me like do captions.
Yeah,
well, like every
it's not that
days
I it's
update.
Not that I mind that they're doing it and making it better. It's that they do it so often, yeah. I can't completely 100% learn it, and then they just like switch it over, and I'm like, man,
well,
I'm gonna freaking drive down there and
here's
I'm gonna beat someone's ass.
What they should do is like, hey, here's a preview of what it looks like on the new one, and then give you a choice. Do you want to run on the old one or the new one?
Well, I think I
and
should
then
just
give you
get
like
the,
a timeline to get off of the old
you
one.
You can still get desktop. You can still buy their software. You don't have to do the monthly online.
Right.
I'm 2 seconds from
well,
fucking
but
doing
here's the
does
thing
that.
With the monthly online is it blends with your CRM and it blends with your bank account and it jives everything together.
So do the desktop versions.
Does it?
Yeah. So Adobe Lightroom is that way where you can either spend $20 a month or you can spend like $1,000.
Yeah, Adobe.
Adobe is, dude, they're making.
Dude, I have Adobe. They're charging me $19.99 a month and I barely use it.
Well, they bundle
like,
stuff.
Man,
like you can get Lightroom and Photoshop.
I like using it once in a while. I just,
well,
you know what? That's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
I got some other stuff cooking. I need it. But I also have Austin. So it's like, I could just call Austin and be like, hey, buddy. Like, just send me a bill. Like,
well, I'm starting to get like
easier.
These like random ideas. And like, now that I've gotten good at Photoshop, I'm like, dude, I want to just like, when I have just like no time to do it, or when I have time and I'm not doing anything, like on a weekend,
that's
like,
not gonna happen.
I'm just gonna Photoshop this random thing.
You know what I love about Austin? Just like, not to get too off topic, but like when he first started for you and he was like, no, I'm not doing anything, this is all I'm gonna do and this and that, it's like slowly, like we've kind of weaved ourselves into his life and like pushed him a little bit. And he's like, oh, now I do this. And now I do kind of these photos.
It's,
and now,
it's because he's
now
realized
I do editing and now I do this. And he's like you could tell he's happier. He's like, oh, I get to use my creativity on this and this and this and this. He's
because
there.
He's realized that
he's
unless
there,
you're
man.
In a sales role,
he's
your
there.
9 to 5 is not going to put you into retirement.
Yeah. He's not
it's
an idiot.
Simply
he's
that.
Smart. Yeah.
Right. Like,
I love it, dude.
We're starting to get those annoying things on our Smith Media where it's like, I looked at your social media, and if you partner with me, you can get 10 times more engagement. I'm like,
yeah, just
like, you
delete.
Realize I work on a channel that has like 12,000 subscribers. They don't know that, but I almost want to write back. Like, hey, check out this channel I'm a part of. We have 12,000 subscribers.
Yeah, you just delete that shit. Like as I've doubled our spend on SEO, the amount of spam emails we get into our company, it's 10 to 1. 10 spam emails for one actual customer. And you have to open every single one of them and read it.
Yeah.
And they come in through our contact page. These spam bots have found a way to like pre-fill our contact page with their spam shit. And it'll be a thing of like, you know, I was looking into your company and your Google review performance is lacking and I can help with that. And I'll be like, tell me you didn't actually look into my company without telling me. Because, I mean, we're knocking on the door of 1,000 Google reviews in less than 4 years of business.
Yeah.
With a 4.9 rating. It would be a 5.0 if it wasn't for those.
Oh, God, just let it go, dog.
Fucking letters.
Let it go.
So.
Still been out of shape about it.
Yeah, I am. I'm counting down the day to get back to my 5.0.
Do you
want to
wrap up Google is King, or what do you want to do?
Oh, wow. It's
we can wrap
40
it up.
Minutes. Holy cow.
So.
Or do you want to just keep talking? I got some other things I want to say about
next,
it. You want to keep going?
Next subject.
Google, so in my opinion, Google is still king. But just to wrap it up, there is a lot of lost faith in technology and big corporations.
Yep.
And it just, I think that we're kind of, you brought this up before, I think we are kind of going backwards down that path of, hey, I'm going to ask my buddy who he uses.
Right.
I'm going to post on the Blue Springs community page and find out who is legit.
Yep.
Because it's easier, like, what do we talk about? What we're talking about now is people buy from people.
Yep.
But if you're getting referrals from actual people that have used them, like, it is more comforting. It is more reassuring. Like, and I think that's part of the Google going downhill too.
Yeah.
So,
I do,
onwards, sir.
I do want to, I'll button it up with this. So, a couple of shows ago, we were talking about the Google review tap cards.
Oh, right? Yeah.
We implemented those into our business. We got 70 Google reviews in a month of having those tap cards in play. Okay.
I wonder if any of the Tradewinds guys did it. I know a lot of them were talking about doing it.
I don't know.
We haven't brought it up again though with them.
But we got over 70 Google reviews in 30 days using those tap cards. Okay.
Yeah. They worked.
And prior to that, we were getting like 15 or 20 Google reviews a month. So Google literally just this morning emailed me like a Google business profile performance update. Phone calls into our company up 88%.
Since you did the cards?
Just in the last month.
So you're saying that this is all
the only thing we've changed
reviews.
Is the cards.
Okay.
Okay. Phone calls
easy.
Up.
Easy. Don't be so defensive. I'm
88%.
Just asking. Dang.
People asking for directions to our company up 21%, which is kind of weird because like our shop's unmanned. Like you wouldn't. And it's
no,
it's unmanned, unmarked, but it's still listed on Google. Like
he doesn't know I live there at night.
Yeah. Like it's weird that people ask for directions, but anyway, website visits up 31%, Google business profile views up 15%, and Smedley Plumbing showed up in Google searches up 77%. And literally the only thing we changed was we implemented those tap cards and we went from getting 15 to 20 Google reviews a month to getting 70 in 30 days.
I'm not going to like discount the importance of it, but I mean, I'd say some of that is probably just random.
Some of that could be random. Like you're going to have natural ebbs and flows, but here's the icing on the cake to say it's not random. Last month we set a company revenue record for the most revenue we've ever produced in our company.
I wonder if
so. Staying active and staying current on Google reviews,
I was
and
just
getting
about
multiple
to say
Google reviews a day helps your business.
I was just about to say, I wonder, so the more Google reviews you get in a short amount of time and more engagement you get because of them pushes you higher on the list.
Well, think about
what I'm trying to say.
What is Google?
Well, Google originally is a search engine. Second, it's an information company.
It's an information company.
Yeah, they're sucking data.
They're
sucking data to sell data. And that's what they do.
Data and information, especially customer-centric data, is the new currency. Okay.
Well, it's the new.
He who has the data has the power.
It's
this
the
is
new,
why TikTok is a threat to the U.S.
Yeah, it's a new. It's the new. How do I say this? Advertising agency, like, you know, back in the day, like in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. advertising agencies had all the money. They had all the freaking power. You know, mm-hmm. It's just changed to now it's the mega corporations,
right,
that have all the data online,
right. And so,
I guess is how I would say that.
Basically, what I'm getting at is the better you play Google's game, the more they're going to take care of you.
Well, say the more natural reward you get because you're scratching their back and now they're putting you to the front because they're getting more from you.
I'll agree with everything you said except for the word natural. It's unnatural to ask for Google reviews at the rate that we ask for them. But also our Google performance, that much of an increase is unnatural.
I meant natural because they're coming in. So naturally, they obviously push you to the front. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. The more information you give Google, the better Google is going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Is essentially what it is. And so since Google is an information company, give them information.
Yeah, they want that data, baby.
They want that data, right? Google is getting information from a customer that gives you a 5-star review.
I will say, too, there's a bit of an accountability piece to the plumbers because before they could just say, oh, yeah, I'm asking for them. I'm just not getting them. But now you can say, okay, you went on 4 calls. There should be 4 taps.
Right.
So it's like you're able to have that data because, you know, they can't use that line. They're like, oh, well, we're asking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's the tactical, like, managerial piece to those mm-hmm. tap cards. But the overriding thing is get active on Google and Google will reward you for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big thing.
I mean, let's be honest. It gives your employees the cop out too of, dude, I'm tapping it every call.
Yeah.
And I'm going over my deal. If they're not giving it to me, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And you won't get everyone.
No, of course not. But but they can prove that, yes, do you not see the tap?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's an accountability measure for you and for them.
Right. They're just going to be tapping it on their own personal phone in the truck.
You'll know it. God damn it, Mitch. Stop it.
So
you big baby.
Last thing I wanted to talk about today is people do not buy from your business. People buy from people. People buy from you. People buy from your employees. People do not buy from your business.
In the service industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the listeners of this show are in the service industry. They're not in the commodities industry.
But I could hear the idiots.
Yeah.
Well, I go to Amazon. I buy from nobody. I can hear the dipshits.
I buy chocolate from Hershey's, not the guy sitting in the forest. Yeah.
I get gas from a guy at the gas station. Well, dude, that's not what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about...
Since Austin brought it up, chocolate. We've all bought the $3 candy bars that are a fraction of the size of a real candy bar from the kid that comes to our door selling candy bars.
Yeah. World Man, those caramel ones are so freaking good, dude. I bought a box last year.
They're basically just Carmellos, I feel like.
I'm not buying the world's finest chocolate. I'm buying from the sixth grader that's trying to put himself into scout camp or trying to win the prize at his school or whatever the case may be.
If I want it for flavor, I'll get the Ghirardellis.
Right.
And you know what I mean? The caramel and chocolate, those are the best ones.
Right. They got to be laced, those world's finest chocolate.
They got to be. There's still got to be some cocaine in there or something. But yeah, like little Susie Ann comes to the house and I'm so like when we lived in my old subdivision, mm-hmm. like every kid in that subdivision was either in Scouts, Girl Scouts, baseball, like what? Like every year, like on our counter, there were like 3 boxes.
Right.
Like little Susie Ann comes over, you know her parents.
Yep.
Would you please
I'm
buy a chocolate
to afford
bar?
A helmet for my football team.
And I just
so
like
I don't get concussed.
Yeah, I've had 3 beers. It's nice out.
Yeah.
Like little Susie's there and her parents are waving from the sidewalk and you're like, how much cash do I have?
Yeah.
Like you just immediately like
you're
if I had
from Susie.
If I had a 10, I got $10 worth. Like you know what I mean? I just like I want the kids to do good, but you're right. Like, it's just here. I cave. That being said, you trade wins, assholes that are listening. Do not send your kids. Like, don't be, hey, just send buy from Dave's dude. House. Yeah, just buy from Dave. He'll cave.
When I worked at McDonald's, there would be parents that they would send their kids up to get something fixed on their order, because it's much harder to say no to a kid.
Yeah.
So they would use their kid to be like, oh, can I have an extra sauce, or can you fix this, or can I have this extra thing?
Well, it's the whole, it's the whole thing, though. But, like, you know, the kids do well because they're innocent and genuine and real. Like, that's why it works.
Right. And so, you know what I mean? Adults,
so how do you do that
as
when
adults,
you move up in age?
Yeah, like, leverage that.
Of course you leverage that.
You know, kids are doing it. Like, you see the need. Like, the kids have the script. I'm trying to raise money for football, or, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But then as adults, we're like, hey, do you want to buy this shit? No? Okay.
And I'm trying to raise money to play football.
No. That's what I'm saying. As adults, we completely miss the point where, like, the step in the process where we explain why we do things.
Yes.
Right?
Excuses 100%. Like, well, if they don't want to buy, they don't want to buy.
Right.
No, you have to, the child automatically has the personal relationship with them. Okay. They don't have to develop it.
Right.
When you are a salesman and you're in someone's home, you know what I mean? Taking care of something that they may be the biggest investment in their lifetime.
Right.
You have to be, how do I say this? You have to become their trusted friend in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, that is your job. Your job isn't selling. Your job is becoming a trusted friend that someone wants to buy something from you. You got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
And the problem is, we as adults, we take the one bad situation where the one customer turned us down, or the two customers told us no, or whatever, and then we let that affect demeanor.
You all right? Yep.
We let that affect our demeanor for all the future calls.
Yeah, we hang up on that one negative thing.
Let's go back to...
That's an adult problem, by the way. Like,
let's go back to children.
That's a topic for another day.
You get a child who is learning how to walk, and they take three steps and fall down. And what does every adult do that's in that room?
They took three steps.
They clap, they cheer, they celebrate the three steps, they encourage, they get back up, right? Now, as an adult, you get an adult that tries to go out and start a business and they fail. And what do all the adults around them do?
Knew they couldn't do it.
Fucking loser.
Couldn't do it. I told him he shouldn't do it.
Told him he shouldn't do it. That's a big risk. He could have lost everything.
What a pussy.
Right. And I'm like,
we're not
exaggerating at all.
I don't want to get off topic. People get old and jaded, and they have their own faults and their own misgivings. And then that stuff just is like a cancer.
Yeah.
And it just like eats at them. And then they just become that negative entity.
Well, they become
all the time.
They become so hardened that whenever somebody actually produces good results, they dismiss it as being unethical or unfair or dishonest in some way, simply because they can't fathom how those results actually happened.
Well, and it's really insecurities. You know what I mean? Like, or jealousy. You know what I mean? Like, man, in the back of their subconscious, they are telling themselves, man, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't do that. I didn't do that.
Right.
I'm stuck here doing this. You know what I mean? And so they immediately go into defensive mode, and defensive mode is tear someone down.
Right.
Like, that's just psychology 101.
It's wild how much we use our insecurities as adults to justify poor performance. And we do it every day, day in and day out.
Yeah. It's weird, too.
And then we make jokes about it.
Well, and I don't know when people, as they get older, I'm sure it's different for everyone, but when they just start making excuses.
Right.
Like, is it because it just became easier? Is it because
excuses lack are a of whole confidence? Lot easier than effort.
I think it's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I think it's just...
Well, here's a bit too. Sorry to cut you off, but...
It's okay. Go ahead.
It's something like I suggest a topic about toxic behaviors, and this kind of... starts on this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you want to
this
start
is
a
the
to-
same, yeah.
If you're starting a toxic loop, how that starts is you're the person that maybe a part wasn't ready for you to put in someone's house. And then so that person thinks, oh, yay, like, now that's an excuse. Like, I feel better because I can use that excuse if I finish later tonight. Or if I don't succeed in what I'm doing, it's like, okay, now I have something.
It's a built-in excuse.
Yeah, I can have it where it's like I have like a bank of excuses.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I can use this up. But then like the toxic loop starts where it's like, then it's like 3 or 4 days later and you're still kind of hanging on to that. Well, that part wasn't ready for me last Wednesday. And so it's like, dude, that was, you know.
It's the COVID
last,
thing.
That was last week.
It's the COVID thing too. People are just, I still hear it all the time.
Due
like,
to these unprecedented times, whole yeah, times are longer than usual.
Yeah, do you realize that the calendar says 2024?
Right.
Like, do you realize that?
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Like
that was 4 years ago.
Like everyone's caught up now. Like we're over it. Oh my God, this is completely off topic. Layla had strings last night. I know Grant did too. Mm-hmm. Man, we're watching. There was four different orchestra groups in the gym. Man, there were like three kids still wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what are we doing?
Yeah. Layla's new with it.
Move the
those
fuck.
Those poor parents or those poor kids because of bad parenting.
Oh, yeah. It's not the kids. Don't get me wrong. It's 100% their parents are freaking
and
psychos.
I may ruffle some parents or ruffle some feathers by saying those parents are bad parents.
They are bad parents.
It's 100% bad. You're literally raising your kid to fear the real world.
Yeah.
Like, it's no different than
you can't be successful and you can't take on challenges when you're afraid of your own fucking shadow every day when you get up.
When you're afraid of somebody else's breath.
Yeah, you can't. It's freaking insane to me.
Right. There was a post, this was last summer in our neighborhood
insane.
Facebook group.
Insane.
And somebody on our neighbor in our neighborhood, and of course, this was an anonymous post in our neighborhood Facebook group.
Stop. But I don't have the energy for your anonymous
saying,
post arguments.
You know, to whoever the parents of the teenagers are that were at the pool at this time, you need to teach your kids some respect. They were making out in front of my children.
Maybe you should have set up and been like, hey, stop making out in the pool. Get a room and bang her out.
Like,
Like, stand up for yourself.
Yeah, for one, imagine how cowardly it is to not address the situation. Like, if it really offended you that bad, you should have addressed it in person on the spot.
Yeah, of course.
Instead of waiting until later and then griping anonymously on a Facebook group, right? But then let's look at the real side of this. And I actually commented on this.
Of course you did.
I said,
you need something to do, man. I got lots of shit for you to do.
I said,
I just need to make a shirt where it has Mitch, where it's like someone poking the beehive into this little bear. Then this is Mitch.
No, I'm not. This isn't poking. Like, this is real shit. Yeah. This is like,
oh, you're poking the beehive. I like it.
I raise my children.
I'm just having fun, yeah.
I raise my children to expect what they're actually going to see in the real world instead of raising my children or trying to get the world to adjust to my kids.
Yeah.
Right. Like, guess what? Your kids are going to see people making out in public.
Yeah.
They're going to see a guy, girl making out. They're going to see a girl, girl making out. They're going to see a guy, guy making out. They're going to see a guy making out with the like babysitter. They're going to see a mom making out with the pool boy.
We're taking a weird turn.
No, I'm just,
but you're
right. They're going to see infidelity. Yeah. They're going to see homosexuality. They're going to see all of this shit.
Yeah,
so
the world's a dumpster fire. Prepare them for it.
Instead of trying to get the world to behave a certain way around your children, how about you prepare your children for what they're actually going to see in the real world? And that is, guess what? People making out.
Yeah. Like, and if you were that worried, like I wouldn't be worried about it, but like if you're that worried, what you should have said is, hey, knock it off. There's kids around.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And then when your kids look at you because you're yelling at some strangers, you say, hey, that's not how we behave in public. Okay.
Yeah.
These two are idiots.
Yeah.
And I'm calling them out. Like,
that's how you handle it. You handle it. You punch the problem in the mouth, right? You address it right then, right there. You don't wait until the problem leaves and then talk about it behind its back.
Yeah.
Right.
It drives me insane.
And so
I can't live in a subdivision anymore, Austin, if you haven't noticed.
And here's why you have to address that in that way. Because the moment you let that person win that argument, the moment you're like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to my kids and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Next time, they're not going to complain about your kids making out. They're going to complain about the bathing suit that your daughter wore. They're going to complain about the fact that your daughter is in, you know, too revealing of a bikini for the neighborhood pool. They're going to complain about, you know, I heard your son say fuck or whatever the case may be. Right. In
that's good.
The moment you relent to
you picked that
exactly. Bowing down to that, all that does is open the floodgates. Well, if I got them to change their behavior on this, what else can I get them to change their behavior on? And then they don't stop.
Yeah.
And nonetheless, none of that is a good progression for society.
No, right? Of course not. I don't know how we got to people buying from people to hit to this point, but yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, I 100% agree with you, Mitchell.
We talked about before, the anonymous posting is just such a cancer.
Oh, like
on top of all this,
there is zero benefit.
Did
for
you
an
really
anonymous
have
post.
To bring that up, Austin? Look, now we're gonna have to hear about Mitch bitch about anonymous posts.
Here we are a year later, and they are still just as useless as they were a year ago. And the one caveat,
I blame you for this.
The one cop out that everyone says, well, if you're in a domestic violence situation and you need it, well, yeah, okay.
This isn't that situation, you dumb bitch.
out of the last 1,000 anonymous posts, not one of them has been a domestic violence situation. Well, now, they have asked when Walmart closes. They have asked why the police sirens were going down the street.
Yeah.
They have asked
to catch your kid that said fuck.
Yeah. They have complained about the service they got at a restaurant in town. Grow some fucking balls. If you're going to have the balls to complain about something, attach your identity to it.
I was actually listening to the Dave Ramsey show, and there was someone who called in, and they were in an obvious, well, it became obvious they were like in a domestic thing. And like, you're listening to the lady on the end of the phone, and you're like, the amount of stuff that she's worrying about, she probably doesn't have time to go to Facebook. Like, if she's getting beaten, you know, or whatever, she's not going to, I'm going to go on Facebook.
Yeah, she's not on Facebook talking about it.
And here's the caveat.
She has real fucking problems. Yeah. Like,
here's
real
the caveat
problems.
To that whole thing. If your cop-out is domestic violence is the reason you would need to have anonymous posts, guess what? I can already, right now, if I see a Facebook post, I can shake my phone and it will automatically report the Facebook post as being against the community standards. If they can do that, then anybody in a domestic violence situation, there's going to be, they could easily add a button or a gesture or something to where you could anonymously report that you're in a domestic violence situation and the appropriate people would be in contact with you because of that. I guarantee you, Karen down the street with her 17 fucking cats doesn't care.
That's Heavy Lisa, not Karen.
Oh, no, Heavy Lisa's got like 3 engines on engine stands in the yard and a Pontiac GTO on blocks.
She's the lady that complains about the trash cans.
I picture my Karens and Lisas different than you.
But what I'm saying is the general public of the community doesn't need to know you're in a domestic violence situation.
Yeah.
The authorities do. The right resources do. The general public doesn't. Right?
Yeah.
So there is zero, domestic violence is zero argument for anonymous posts.
Well, thankfully, the groups that I'm in, when I see anonymous posts, the general consensus I've seen is there's always at least one person that's like, yeah, we should stop this anonymous post. So thankfully, it's like people are seeing that and pulling it down.
Yeah,
every group I'm in charge of, I've turned the feature off.
Yeah.
I love how Mitch argues this point with me.
That you're disagreeing with him?
I disagree with him. Let me finish, goddammit. You just shut your fucking mouth.
There it is.
Like, he will just... Like he takes it so personal. Like, he's arguing with no one in the room. His face gets red. Like, you can feel his blood pressure go up.
You got to wait till he's in a certain mood to kind of come in with those questions, or else he just get like this
like
fire.
You can, he is.
It's like watching a solar
eclipse.
He's
mad about it. And I bring that
you're
up.
You're just waiting for me to be on edge one day, and you're going to be like, anonymous post. Here we go,
maybe.
Austin. Make sure you're rolling.
Maybe. Well, but I just, like, it... I've never seen someone get so fired up about a topic,
but
that you get it. Listen to me. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
Yeah. The reason I get fired up about it is because it intrigues me. Greatly.
The reason I get fired up about it is because there's a lot of shit in the nation that we have no control over. I can't control if cops are beating people in Seattle. right? That's their problem over there.
No, they probably need to double how many people they're beating.
I can't control.
No, let's be honest.
There's so many things out there I can't control, right? I can wage a vote on who's president, but I can't control who's president. However, we all use social media, and social media is designed to conform to the general consensus of the public.
Well, it's supposed to.
And the public control whether anonymous posts are legit or not. And most of the responsible people that I know, they either do not reply to anonymous posts, or if they do, they give the anonymous poster absolute shit, right? Like, how dare you post? Like, here's what's crazy.
He's still mad.
People will post anonymously, and I will rail them to their fucking teeth, right? And then they'll be like, whoa, oh, geez, somebody's insecure, you know, whatever. And they try to, like, clap back. Yeah, and I'll be like, no, here's the thing. If you had actually posted with your, like, I have the exact answer you're looking for. If you would have posted with your identity, I would have spent 10 times as much time sharing with you my wisdom and knowledge to give you the answer you're looking for. But because you're a fucking coward and you're afraid to put your identity with your question, I'm going to troll your ass and I'm not going to give you the answer you're looking for.
I can't tell if I'm happy for Danielle later or feel bad for her.
Well,
I don't know if she likes it super rough and angry, but that's what she's about to get. I mean, like,
date night is moved up a night this week because by this time tomorrow, she'll be in Seattle. So Wednesday night, date night can happen.
So this worked out today.
Oh yeah, it worked out. Yeah. That's why I was a proponent of moving the podcast up.
On. Yeah, I liked the earlier podcast too.
We know you do.
Yeah.
Well, I do too.
Well, it's just like,
I'm so tired by sometimes by 5 and 6 o'clock.
For me is like, I actually do like split shift. Like I'll start work still early.
Yeah.
And so that awkward moment where I'm like, I'm kind of done with that section of work, but I still have to keep my brain open for this.
Yeah.
Section. It's hard. It's weird. So.
It's weird. I know exactly how you feel. Cause Tradewinds is like, we have a lot of split calls now. Mm-hmm. Yep. We have a couple in the morning, a couple in the afternoon. So it's like during the, like you have this window of, okay, I can access this stuff during the day.
Yeah.
But I'm still got to be on at 5.
You don't have it's like that time where it's like, I don't have, like, say I'll get done editing. I'll do like 8 to 2 or something like that. And then I'll stop and I'm okay. You know, from 5 to 8 or 7:30. I feel weird.
I will say it keeps me from drinking too much though.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Cause like, so I'm done with my calls and I'm done today and it's 2 o'clock. Do I just have some beers? No, I can't. Cause I gotta call at 5. And if I drink 10, I'm like, hey man, who's going to tell these guys they're stupid. You know, he's like, you can't be that guy. You know, you can't, like, you have to be responsible.
I can just picture you being like drunk Thor, like in the Avengers movies. He has the glasses on and he's all chubby and he just, I think that's your
you don't want to see me real canned Austin.
Yeah,
like, you don't, like, full of energy canned Dave is not something you want to see.
That's a beast you don't want to work
that
with.
That is
no. I think the person I don't,
especially if we're out,
so for me it's Chris. Like, Chris got super drunk during the Christmas party and he talked to Caitlin and I for like forever.
He's not belligerent though. He's a very nice drunk.
He's just chatty.
He's just chatty.
My brother's the same way. Joey is a chatty. He'll like just come up to the house and sit on the porch and be like, hey. And next thing you know, 3 hours has gone by. We've talked about nothing.
Yeah.
But somehow we talked.
And that's part of why we got a party bus on the, like,
oh yeah, you have to.
We literally encouraged, you know, drinking to your level of comfort.
He was the actual,
or everyone else's uncomfort.
Like, he was funnier to me than like the comedians down there. So it's like, we still got our entertainment. We got to listen to Chris.
So I'll wrap it up on this.
Yeah, wrap it up. We're at an hour, buddy.
My disdain for anonymous posts.
Oh, we're back
originated,
on the anonymous posts.
It originated from the company that I was at for 18 months that I hated.
I thought we moved on.
They had been bought out by private equity, and they implemented this thing called Tiny Pulse into the company.
Is that
and
like a suggestion box?
It's basically it's an anonymous suggestion box for employees.
I'd like to see one of those put up in here.
Well, here's the bullshit part about it. As managers, you really know your team. So when one of those suggestions comes in
you know exactly who
the fuck it is.
Fucking John again. Damn it.
And it's like,
every week, John, you just walk out, dude, what are you doing?
Right. And so when those suggestions come in, it's like, dude, I ain't doing shit with this suggestion until that guy has the balls to come and sit in my office and ask for it personally. Like, I want to help him out with this. However, until he displays the courage to ask for it with his identity attached, I'm not helping him.
I think I'm going to do a digital suggestion box on Tradewinds website. Well, the members too, only.
Our company is only
members only.
Anonymous.
Our company.
Anonymous
God,
only.
Not, no. Absolutely
anonymous
not.
Posts only.
Nope.
No, here's what you should do. You should tell them it's anonymous, but it's not actually anonymous.
No.
And just see what people are saying. Like, you can see their names.
I think I'm going to start putting anonymous stuff on. You have a suggestion? I want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from someone. Like, here's Mitch, another problem
Mitch,
with anonymous posts.
I'm just fucking with you, dude. I'm not going to put it on there. Dude,
know,
relax. Hey, for those of you that don't watch on YouTube, you should click in on this and just see how red Mitch's face is
another,
for no reason.
Another problem with anonymous posts is with all of the troll accounts and bot accounts and fake accounts that are out there, how the fuck can you even trust that the anonymous post is from a legitimate account? Because I get friend requests every day from fake accounts.
Yeah, I do too.
And you know they're fake accounts and because they have a beautiful foreign woman on the cover. Their profile or all their pictures are nothing but travel photos, food photos, and beautiful women. And none of their photos or none of their posts have any engagement. They'll have like 800 friends and zero likes for the last month on any of their photos. It's a total bot account, right? I don't accept those. But just imagine how many groups are letting that account make an anonymous post. Like, it's obviously already a fake account, and now you're going to let that account make an anonymous post just to disrupt the community? Like, it's bullshit.
We all know it's bullshit. Relax, brother.
Well,
it's okay.
Social media has made certain people so weak that, say, if there was someone who was wanting to invade a certain country, like, literally all they have to do is just, like, how much damage they could do just by getting on social media and just like disrupting that, the flow of information, this
right.
and that.
Let's not get into that because that's a whole nother topic. Like we could talk about that for an hour.
Because apparently that's what the whole TikTok thing centered around.
That's another, you know what? Next week.
Yeah. Okay. Next week. Yeah.
Wrap us up, Mitch. Cause I still got to get home. We got to call it 4:00. It's 3:45, dog.
That's going to be it for today. If this show brought you value, if this show made you think about something in a different light, if you agree with us, then anonymous posts are absolute bullshit.
Don't say us, say you.
Well, you agree too.
I do too, but
Like, I'm on your scene, Mitch.
Give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on, Spotify or iTunes.
He's punching me.
I feel
me.
We've
son
earned
of
it.
A bitch.
And until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Oh. Poor Mitch. Oh. Great job, everybody.